The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
It's great to see all of you. Happy Valentine's Day. Aren't you going to say it back? That didn't sound very, I wasn't convinced that you're really wishing that to me. Happy Valentine's Day! That's a little better. It's great to be here with you guys. It's great to see us all again, be able to come together for one service on these special occasions. Today, we celebrate the birthday of Hope Hill Church, 5 years old. It's been a great weekend, and we're so excited that we get to celebrate together. We've got a great morning ahead of us, and if you're visiting with us, we want to say a special welcome to you. My name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill. Again, we want to thank you for being here. We want to thank you for the investment that you have been pouring forth into the lives of these young ones. It has been an amazing 5 years. I could go on and on, but Brandy has warned me not to go long this morning. So we're going to dive right in. We are very excited about what God has done in the last 5 years. It's exciting for those of you who helped us get started. Like was said just a few moments ago, the very first meeting, April 24th, 2010, Nathan sat in his car in front of the home we met for that very first informational meeting where 24 of us gathered, and it's grown to this. And there have been many who have been a part of us, who now live elsewhere, who are continuing God's work where God has sent them, and this is just the beginning. I'm so excited for what God is allowing all of us to be a part of. I'm so excited that I get to serve alongside you. We are excited for what God is doing in the building of His church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and it's the gates of hell that are mentioned there. So if hell has gates, then the church must be moving forward, pressing against those gates. We're not called just to sit in a building and huddle together as a small group and sing kumbaya. We're to be on mission outside of this place. This is not church. You are the church. I'm the church. You're the church. We are the church outside of this place as the hands and feet of Jesus, bringing the life-transforming gospel in our words, in our actions, in our deeds, how we love on people. That's our mission. And so our hope is that God will just multiply that effort as we go forward. We look back in everything we do to the example that Jesus set for us. A couple passages of scripture I want to read to you real quick. The first one coming from the book of John, chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. John, chapter 1. Now, the beginning here is we see Jesus. He did not come to accomplish his mission alone. While here, he gathered together around himself friends who he would pour into, who would then continue his mission for him. Jesus, the ministry aspect of his life from the age of 30 to 33, right before he laid down his life and died for us on a cross, he poured into these men. And this, what we're going to look at this morning, is the calling of those first friends, as he called them to follow him. Check out these scriptures. John chapter 1 verse 40 says this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was what? What did he do? He went to find his brother. He heard about Jesus, and he was so moved about what he had heard and witnessed up to this point, that he, the first thing he did was he went and found his brother. He went and found his brother Simon, and he told him, we have found the Messiah. For years, ages, ages, eons and eons, they had been waiting for the coming of the promised Savior, the Messiah. And he said, we have found him. And he went to his brother and said, we had found him. And he brought him to Jesus, 42 says. As they arrived, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which is also translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, he said, what good can come from there? Nazareth was like that other side of the tracks kind of place. No, nothing good came from Nazareth. Nathanael went on to say, Nazareth, what good can come from there? And Philip said, you know what? I can't even explain it. You just have to come and see. Come and see, Philip said. Many times we're gonna see Jesus touch our lives. We're gonna see him working. We're gonna feel him draw us, and we're gonna come to him, and then we're gonna be compelled and feel like going and sharing with our family, our friends, our neighbors. And some of them are gonna be like, church? What good can come from church? Some of them are gonna be like, you're into that religion? What good can come from religion? You found Jesus? What good can come from Jesus? And his simple response, and often ours, should say, you know what, I don't know how to convince you. Just come and see. The Bible tells us that the world will see us as his disciples and how we love on one another, and then they will come to know our Father as their Savior. It is our job to go out and to bring our friends, to bring the lost, and to simply say, come and see. Turn over to Matthew with me. There were a couple characters, kinds of people, what I mean by characters, kinds of people back in the old, in the New Testament when Jesus was on the earth. There were the religious elite, the ones that had it all together, the ones that didn't want Jesus around because they established a system that benefited them and kept the masses kind of at their bay. And Jesus came in and turned tables over, literally. He flipped the whole system on its head. And Jesus came, and what he got ridiculed about was going and talking to sinners and tax collectors. How many of you are a sinner? That's a good number of us. There's a lot of sinners here. Jesus was ridiculed because he was often caught caring for those in need, prostitutes, tax collectors. Now, I know a lot of us don't like tax collectors, but back then, a tax collector, you weren't just like taking money for the government. You were betraying your people. The Roman citizen, the Roman government came in and rose up Jews. Hey, you want some extra money in your pockets? Go and take the money from your people. Line your own pockets with some, but give us the rest. So these were like despised individuals in the society. And Jesus went and he spoke to one named Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says this: as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. What did Jesus say? Follow me. This one who had been despised and rejected as teenage Jewish boys, many of them didn't make the cut for the religious system. And they would be looked over. Many rabbis and teachers of the law would gather a few young men around them that showed aptitude and wisdom and thought they could pour into them. And so if you were a tax collector or a fisherman, you didn't make the cut for the religious system. But Jesus' first choice was who? Fishermen and tax collectors. Jesus may be ready to choose you today. Actually, he is ready to choose you today. Regardless of what your background is, regardless of your faults and your failures, Jesus wants you to do these same words. What were those words? Follow me. He said, follow me. He told him, and Matthew got up and he followed him. Matthew didn't leave it there. Matthew was so touched and moved that Matthew went out and he talked to his other tax collector friends, the other despised and rejected individuals, and he said, you've got to meet this guy. He's coming to my house for dinner tonight. So Matthew throws a party. He fills his house with all these sinners and tax collectors. They're all there eating dinner. Check out verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with them and his disciples. Matthew was touched by this man named Jesus. He was touched by the love that he saw in Jesus' life. And Matthew said, I can't just hog this all to myself. My job is to go and tell others. And immediately he went and he filled his house. When the Pharisees saw this, those religious elite, they asked his disciples, his followers, his friends, he said, why does your teacher eat with these tax collectors and sinners? Check out verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but who? The sick. But go ahead and learn what this means, Jesus said. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus is a God of love, God in flesh. The scriptures say that no one has greater love than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. But Jesus took it a step farther. And the Bible says in Romans that while we were his enemies, while we were sinners, and there was something between us and God, at that point, Jesus decided to give up his life for you and for me. He who knew no sin became sin in our place, that we might know the love and the righteousness of God. The scriptures tell us that if we confess our sins and believe in him and call out to him with our mouth, that he will come and he will forgive us of all unrighteousness, and he will come and make our heart his home. It's the greatest love story ever told, and we are continuing to tell that story in the lives of those sitting in this room, and the lives of those outside of these walls, and the lives of those that God is placing around you, wherever you eat, sleep, study, play, and shop. God is sending you to continue to tell his love story so the people will come to know him, the life-transforming, wonderful Savior who loves us all. The last passage I want us to look at before we make this a little real for all of us is in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching. Again, these Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea, from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house. Where were they? Where were they? Where were they? They were in a house. They weren't just, it wasn't in the synagogue, it wasn't in the temple. Where was Jesus teaching? Where was Jesus about to perform miracles? Where was this love happening? In a house. A lot of us, we've looked at that stained glass cathedral on a corner for far too long, thinking that that's where God lives. But God wants to live and change lives in your houses, in your homes. These men, they got this paralyzed man, a man who could not bring himself to Jesus. And these men surrounded this man, and they picked him up. And as they approached the house, there were too many people there. They couldn't get in. When they could not find a way in, verse 19, because the crowd, they went up on the roof. Now, I'm not going to suggest any of you do this. But they went up on the roof. They tore a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down on his mat, through the tiles, into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. I am not giving you permission to rip someone's roof off. We will not pay for any roof repairs if you say you do this in Hope Hill's name. All right, continuing on. Little disclaimer there. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." Then the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus knew what they were talking and thinking about. "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier? Is it easier for me to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven'? Or is it easier for me to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, and he took what had been laying on the ground, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen his love in your life? Is it compelling you to go out into the highways and the byways, the places that are so dark that they can't see the light, the places that are so dark and hopeless that they need hope? God is wanting you to be the church. He's wanting you to take your friends and bring them to Jesus. He's wanting you to bring your friends to your houses, your homes, where they can see Jesus and how you treat each other, how we love one another. I want you to see the story of how I've seen many of you answer this call over the last 5 years. The story we're about to show you is a modern day example of the love story of Jesus being written on the hearts of individuals through the hearts of those sitting here. And in advance, I want to say thank you. But check this out.
I grew up with both of my parents were divorced. My father was Muslim and my mother was a non-practicing Catholic, and they divorced when I was really, really young. So I didn't really know God, but in fourth grade, a friend of mine invited me to church, and I loved the way that I felt when I was there. And her whole family went together, her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters, and they loved me. They picked me up every morning to go to church with them as long as I wanted to go, which I did, and they just kind of made me part of their family on Sundays, so I looked forward to that. When I was 18, I ended up getting married, and I had my first son, and I was so determined to have that family that took me in on Sundays when I was younger. My husband at the time and I started to go to church together, and I started to get that feeling again, but it wasn't quite exactly the same, but it was good. After my third child, shortly after him, we were separated and then we got divorced, and that was really, really hard. I don't want to say that I blamed God, but I became even more disconnected. I kind of didn't realize it, but I was, you know, losing what little bit of faith that I was starting to get back or starting to feel. And about almost 2 years later, I met my husband, my second husband. We were married for quite a long time, like 8 years we were married. We ran a successful plumbing business together. We went to church together. We had my daughter Alexis, and at 3 years old she was diagnosed with autism, and again I felt wow, this is crazy is how I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, what do we even do with that? And my husband was just, he was amazing. Like, we prayed about it together and we were able to get through it. Like, it was just, we turned it around, like it was just a blessing, like she was made just for us and that we could get through it, and we did. It was just who Lexi was, and she was meant for us and we were meant for her. And after about a year of her diagnosis and getting her therapies and whatnot, and my husband was in a really bad accident, and he ended up with four herniated discs in his back, and he was forced to go to a pain management doctor because he ran a plumbing business and he didn't want to have surgery. He was scared to become paralyzed. He heard horror stories and just didn't want to do that, and so he started taking pain medicines. And after about a year, maybe even a year and a half of taking medicines and then always upping the dose more and more, he was addicted. He was addicted. He couldn't function physically or mentally without them, which then it actually led into a heroin addiction. He would call it that he was a functioning addict because he could still go to work and do everything, so he kind of justified it, and I just wanted my happy family, so I let myself justify it too. He decided that enough was enough and he wasn't going to do that anymore. If it meant that he was going to have to get surgery, he was going to do that. And then at 23 days of being sober, he died on my bathroom floor as I gave him CPR. lost all faith. Finally, it got so bad that I ended up calling one of my friends, Bethany, and she was actually at work, and I called her, and I told her, I don't know what to do. Like, it's not that I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to live. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know how to go grocery shopping. I just didn't know what to do. And she put me in touch with Brandy to get some grief counseling. So I welcomed the help. And looking back, I must have known that Bethany could help me or lead me in the right direction, because out of all the people that I could have called, I called her. She brought me to a Sunday service at Hope Hill, and Hope Hill wasn't her church, but she knew Brandy and everyone there. And I didn't say that I didn't believe in God, but I kept saying he's on pause is what I like to say. I was like, I'm not going to say he's not real, but he's on pause. I just couldn't do anything more than that. But after that first Sunday going to church with Bethany, Bethany went back to her church. I still kept going to church. Something kept pulling me back there, and I wasn't sure what it was. I just kept going back, and I was put in, plugged into a community group, and I loved the people there. They were really. They were awesome people, really, really nice. But I kept going back because, I just felt like I needed to be there, and I felt at peace when I was there. After going there for about 5 months, my house was being foreclosed on, and I had to be out. I had a really short time that I had to be out of my house, and still not really having an intimate connection with anybody in the community group. They prayed for me. People that I didn't even know prayed for me, and I liked that. I liked them to pray for me, but I wouldn't pray for myself. I wouldn't ask God for anything. I just couldn't do that. About a week before I was scheduled to move to Florida, I was told that I had a townhouse, that they found a townhouse for me. I still didn't want to acknowledge that all this was coming from God. I still was not sure why these people were helping me and why they liked me, because I just didn't feel like I had anything to offer anybody. I felt like I was a broken something and that I couldn't offer anything to anybody. But people just kept loving me, and after Hope Hill had moved me in and subsidized so I could actually have my own place, I realized the need for a savior, and it was life changing for me. It opened my eyes to a lot of things. It was a turning point for me. It was a life transformation for me. I still hurt a lot. I mean, there's a lot of reminders of my husband because we had such a deep connection. And every now and then I will hear like little voices like, oh, that was taken from you, or just things. And I know that that's the enemy trying to feed off of my sadness. And I don't let it. I say, I love my husband so much, and I know that he's in a better place and he's not hurting. And I know that he would be proud of me right now. And that makes me okay. It does. And I feel like I'm a better person because of all of this. And God knew that that would happen. I didn't. Even when I didn't have hope, he knew. And he knew that where I am right now is where he wanted me to be. And I wouldn't have got there had I not gone through everything that I have. And I decided that I wanted to live for God. I wanted to show him how thankful I was that even though all of that stuff in my life that happened, that I was still here and I still had so much to give, and that I would find my place, because I didn't know where my place was, but that I had faith that he would help me find my place. Shortly after that, my friend Terry had introduced me to a Christian doctor, and I was able to get a job there, and it really was where God wanted me to be, because I ran into a lot of hurting people, and I'm able to help them, and it feels really good. It feels really, really good. I feel like I have a place, and I know that's because of God and because of his love for me, and I'm able to share that with other people, and that makes me feel whole, and I never thought I could feel whole again.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Well, I know some of you have not met Sonia, so I want you to meet her. Sonia, can you come on up? Now, she made me promise her that I would not make her talk in front of you all. So we want you to know that we love you. We're here to help you in this next phase of your journey in life. And you have the love and support. You've been feeling it. And we want you to know that we're here, right? As you've heard just through her words, there were many of you that contributed to helping bring Sonia to Jesus, that showed love, that were the hands and the feet of Jesus. And I want you to see that it wasn't just one encounter. It was a process. It was us being the church. It was not just Sonia going to a church service and hearing a message and giving her heart. It was being loved on. It was by watching her see the disciples and the followers of Jesus love on one another. And it's you. It's you, the church. So it first started off with Bethany. Bethany, come on up here. Bethany, came up here and, yeah. Bethany helped Sonia come to Hope Hill. This is Denny, and I also want to introduce to you, Amir. So shortly after Bethany helped Sonia come to Hope Hill Church, she introduced her to Brandy. And because of Brandy's gifts and passion and counseling, she, along with the help of Pastor Paul, who is helping us have offices in place to meet with people like Sonia. We can't come here in the middle of the week. They got classes going on. So we had to have a place to meet. And thanks to Christ Chapel and Paul for opening up their doors for us to have counseling offices. They came together to love on Sonia. And as that love continued to be showed, they helped Sonia get plugged into a community group. And those community group members loved on her. The Lake Ridge community group, each being the hands and the feet of Jesus, came together to surround her, to love on each other. And as they witnessed to her, both in action and words and deeds, they showed her the love of Christ. In her own words, she went for 5 months and didn't say a word. She wasn't sure she could open up, but it didn't matter. She was seeing the love of Jesus in her life. Shortly after that, she was about to lose her home. It wasn't in the video, but she thought she was going to have to move to Miami. But this community group and the help of people like Jim and Robin Geisler came together. And they started a search to not only find a place for Sonia and her family to live, but they even subsidized her rent so that she could make ends meet. And they came up and they loved on her, continually showing her the love of Jesus. It was around this time that Sonia decided to give in. She realized her need for a Savior, and she gave her heart to Jesus. Terry, one of our faithful members in our church, started to develop a relationship. Terry also lost her husband years ago, and knowing how that felt, came side by side and befriended Sonia and helped her, comfort her, and led her to find a job where she's working now. And is Dr. Scott here? Dr. Scott? Yeah. Hey, come on up. Thank you guys for loving on Sonia over these years. Employing Sonia, and they're believers. They actually go to church down at Mount Ararat, down in Stafford, and they've been loving on Sonia and opening up their hearts and loving on her as well, and the family. So as Sonia started to get plugged in, are we bringing Lexi up? She needed to just relax. That's fine. Lexi, a beautiful girl, born and diagnosed with autism, she is now being cared for under on the ministry here at Hope Hill. But before we even knew what to do with kids who had special needs, some of you got up and said, whatever is needed, I'll help. So some of you took Lexi back to the back and played with her in the gym while Sonia could sit in here and worship Jesus and hear the words of God. And many of them just loved on Lexi week after week for years. And this led to Amir getting plugged in. Is Amir, where is Amir? Amir, her son. You saw his story last week. Get up here, Amir. Come on. You saw his story last week as he shared of how he wasn't sure about his journey. He wasn't feeling love in all of this. I mean, struggles can be hard to see God in, but many of you surrounded him as a youth group and you invited him to camp and drug him to camp, even though he wasn't sure he wanted to go. And so those of you that helped get him to camp, get up here. And shortly after returning home from camp, in my home, he was chilling out with Val. Is Val here this morning? Val had a one-on-one talk with Amir and introduced him to pray to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it was this body working together over years, not just one time, not just one setting, but in their homes, in their places of employment, in this community, loving on this family, working together to bring them to Christ. That's the love story. That's the love story. And Brandy's reminding me that it is not over, because we want to love on more families like this. And Billy and his wife, they joined us, the Haynes family, recently, and they, not even knowing the details here, they said, we believe God's leading us to Hope Hill to start a special kids ministry and called Hope Kids. And several of you have said, I feel called to bless families like this. And several of them are now partnering together. And we started Hope Kids ministry just last month. And children like Denny and Lexi and others are now being loved on each week, receiving the love of Jesus in a special way. And so let's hear it for the church. Wow, it's so many. Where's my dad? Dad, come on up here. Some of you have heard me talk often about my dad. My dad, of course, was instrumental in leading me to Christ and praying over me as I began my journey and in starting Hope Hill Church. And I just want my dad to pray over Sonia and her family and over us as we begin our next 5 years of ministry. Dad, will you just lift us up to Jesus and just pray a prayer blessing over us? Thank you, Dad.
Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the work that you are accomplishing through Hope Hill. And as we see here, Father, it's not just one, but it's all, Father, that have planted and cultivated what we see today in Sonia's life. And we are thankful, Lord, for her continuing growth that you are supporting her and supplying the friendships and the people around her that lift her up and to disciple her. But Father, we know that there is a great city out there that is lost and is hopeless and helpless. And Father, Hope Hill is building an army that we see right now, that it's not just us, but it's everyone in this room that is doing the work. And Father, so we call upon you. Your word says greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And it's the faith that you give us, Father, that we will go out and continue to see this vision, Lord, that it will not just be Hope Hill, but it will be the Northern Virginia area. And we will see, Father, those homes being built, Lord, those care centers being put up, Father, and missions throughout the world. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we pray, Father, that we could covenant together, Lord, to see great things being accomplished by you. You said that, Father, greater things we will do when I am gone. So we, Father, we come before you humbly, asking, Father, to give us boldness to go as lambs, to give us wisdom to use, Father. Give us words and hands and feet to go where others do not want to go. And we call, Father, we call upon you, Father, to open those doors and break down those barriers, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will enter their hearts and make a change and transform their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's have a hand for these guys. Again, I want to thank you for all that you've done to make everything that God is doing possible. But this is just the beginning. God has so much more in store for each of us. Last night, for those of you that were able to make it, we began the unfolding of the vision for our next season as a body of Christ, as the Hope Hill family. Our ushers are going to pass out now a booklet called the Hope for Nova Vision Campaign Booklet. And we want you to read this. We want you to get behind and support what God is leading us to do. We've already been sharing this vision in bits and pieces over the months and the years. And outside of this circle, there are people who are hearing about what we're doing, wanting to get behind us and what we're trying to launch out to do. And so I want you to kind of just hear it. And we've recorded it so that it will come out right, so I don't mess up again. So here you go. Check out this video.
I believe with 100% certainty that you and I are on this journey together, that we have been called by a great and amazing God to be His vessels of hope to Northern Virginia, starting right here in Prince William County and beyond. I believe that this great God has an ultimate purpose for us together in planning this church, and that the church is plan A. There is no plan B. We were left here, commissioned by Him to be His ambassadors, His sent ones, to take hope to those in need. I believe that God is just beginning. 20 years ago, God laid on my heart and Brandy's heart a vision that included planting a church. To each and every one of you who have helped us take that step in this journey, we want to say a huge thank you. Without you partnering with us and allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us together, we wouldn't have seen God do what He's already done. It's been amazing to see the way God has already begun to move through the establishment of this new part of the body of Christ in Hope Hill Church. We've witnessed God bring healing and hope to many families through you because of your open hearts, your open homes, and your generosity. We've seen families' needs be met during the Christmas season, receiving food on their tables and presents under their trees. We've seen children receive food on the weekends who would go without eating if it wasn't for their free lunches at school. We've seen children wear coats and clothing and shoes because of people like you stepping up and giving of your heart. You've heard me talk about Jesus calling us to walk with him, to become fishers of men, to leave everything behind and to give up everything and surrender to his calling and his leading in our life. As we submit to him and his call in our life to be fishers of men, he is leading us into deeper waters. Like Jesus said to his disciples, go into the deep waters and to cast our nets on the right side of the boat. We believe that Jesus is calling us to go deeper and farther than we've yet gone, to cast our nets deeper and wider so that more and more people can hear of his love and be introduced to the hope that only comes through him, the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that God has prepared you to be on this journey with us, to be fishers of men, to cast these nets deeper and wider. Prince William County is such an area of high diversity. You can be in one neighborhood, leave that where it seems like everyone there has everything that they could possibly need, and drive just a couple minutes down the road and be in another community where there's high poverty. A couple of the communities that we are in regularly, trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus, are Grayson Village Mobile Home Park, Forest Park Trailer Community, and Woodbridge Trailer Park. Imagine, if you will, Hope Hill owning a home in that community. And each of them, us having an individual who lives there as a missionary, who is there building relationships with the neighbors, who is able to help the kids with tutoring, who has a food pantry right there in their home and is able to open it up whenever they're aware of a family in need. We believe that this is what God is calling us to establish as Hope Houses. We believe over the next several years, God will lead us to establish many of these, providing hope, not waiting for them to come to us and our stained glass cathedral on a corner, but us going to them and showing them the body of Christ in their community, meeting their needs face to face, sharing with them the love of Christ. Now imagine with me a Hope Center, an outpost for ministry, a location just outside these communities, possibly having the first one just on the 234 corridor. A place where individuals who live in these communities can come to get deeper needs met, where counseling and recovery groups can meet, where offices can be established, where a youth group can meet, or even ministry training can happen through different classes and seminars, where we can even begin to think about planting new churches, where smaller congregations meet and grow and are sent out to begin new work. We believe that these Hope Centers will be very much like community centers, third spaces, where teams in the area looking for a place to have an indoor soccer practice might be able to come, where you might be able to bring friends and just hang out and share a cup of coffee and talk and build relationships that will lead you and lead them closer to Christ. We believe that these centers will help us to get more of a foothold in a community, being close to those areas of need and be able to offer deep and lasting hope. So let's go one step further. Picture with me, if you will, a cul-de-sac on a piece of property in our area where there's three or four homes, where one home is a battered women's shelter, caring for women who are dealing with domestic violence. The next door home could possibly be a home for troubled teens who just need a place to show them love and help them to get on the right path. Another home in that cul-de-sac could be a foster care home where small children are loved on and their needs are being met by a family that loved them. We believe that God is leading us to establish communities of hope, areas where pockets of hope are being offered by men and women just like you and me, giving of our time, our talents, and resources to pour into these lives, to see Christ transform lives. So again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being vessels of hope. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you to reach the people that God has placed around us. Thank you for being people who have been used to help glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world.
None of this is possible without Jesus leading us. In a few minutes, we're going to close our service in a little different way. I know most of you are used to coming to service, coming together as a community to receive communion. But today, we're going to take some time to dedicate this vision to the Lord by seeking Him together in prayer. And my hope is that God is moving in you through the Holy Spirit to get on board with what He wants to do through you, the church, each and every one of you, not some professional organization. It's just us, simple, broken people, humble before God, saying, help me to love the people you've put around me. And if you're on board with that, we want to journey and partner with you together. And we want to start that today by just dedicating this day and praising Jesus for what He's already done and seeking His face in our next steps. Take this booklet home, read it. You can get even a cool little magnet for your car on your way out today. But we want to spread this vision. We know that the army's got to get bigger for us to accomplish all that God's leading us to accomplish. So we want you to get on board with it. We want you to share it with others, especially those who don't know the hope yet. We want them to come to know Jesus and know that, like Sonia, who had her heart transformed, she's now able to share that story and help others, and so can you. This love story was written and is continued to be written today on your hearts and mine and on those who are yet to be here. So let's get on board together. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to challenge you to get out of your seats, to move to the open spaces in this room, up front, on the sides, in the aisles, to partner together with your families, your friends, your community group members. And I want us just to spend the next few minutes just praying out loud together for God to do great things through us. Pray for one another. Praise God for what He's already done. But He's only just begun. This is a little group of people. God has so much more He wants to do, so many more He wants us to reach. So stand up now with me. Stand up. I want you to find people that you can pray with together right now. And as you're moving, hear me. If you're here today and you do not know this hope, if you do not yet know Jesus as your Savior, your first prayer today should be, Jesus, come into my life. Give me this love. Give me this hope. I confess my sins to you. Come into my life and change me and make me new. God wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to be His follower. And it doesn't matter. Just like that tax collector and those fishermen who were rejected, Jesus chose them. And He wants to choose you today. As we form these pockets, I'm going to lead us by opening us up in prayer together. And then I want you to take it from here, just raising your voices to Him, praying with one another. Circle up. Hold hands. Come on, guys. Love on each other. We're a family. And let's lift our voices to God. In a few minutes after we're done spending some time in prayer, I'm going to close this out by praying us to a close. But let me begin. Let me just open us. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, God, for the love story that you shared with us. The greatest act of love ever shown was you giving your life in our place and then conquering sin and death and victory and raising again to give us hope. God, I pray that if there are people in this room who do not yet know you, at their first step right now, their heart would become open to you, that they would call to you and say, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to follow you. God, now hear the prayers of our body as we call out to you together, seeking your face, showing us. God, show us what part we're going to play as individuals. Show us, God, how we're going to give to you out of our resources. Speak to us now and hear our prayers. Church family, lift up your voices now. Let's pray to Him together. Father God, Hear our prayers. Lord Jesus, as we continue to lift our hearts up to you, we pray, God, that you will lead us. God, some of us, you're going to raise up to be the missionaries in these homes. Some of us, God, we're going to be the counselors that are meeting with people that have just such deep wounds and hurts and need your love and your healing. God, some of us are going to be able to give financially to seeing these hope houses, these hope centers established and built in this county to be vessels of hope. God, we love you, and we thank you for calling us to be on this mission with you. God, each of us as individuals are your lights in the midst of darkness. And you're calling us to shine your light to bring hope to all who are in need. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for inviting us to be a part of something greater than ourselves, of inviting us to be a part of what you're doing and pouring out your love to this world. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In your name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. As you make your way back to your seats, I want to ask you to specifically be praying and celebrating going forward. I want to introduce to you Mary, Mary Dale. Mary's been a part of our worship team for a while. She actually was in my youth group a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I had to say that, sorry. She was in my youth group all middle school, high school, and is now been recently serving many of the poor in this area. She's feeling called to be one of our first missionaries to live in one of these hope houses. So, she's bilingual, so that's a bonus. And most of all, though, she has a heart to love on people because of the love of Jesus in her life. So be praying for Mary. Let's surround her and be the church family with her as she leads us together how to figure this out. We need a house. We need to buy a house. We're ready. We have a family in the church who said that they would put up half the money to buy our first house. So we need the rest of the money. Yeah. Yeah. So God's moving. He's just waiting for willing people to get on board. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Let's worship Him together and celebrate what He's doing.